Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Dear listeners, sisters and brothers from every single corner of the world, I hope you're doing well and everything is just fine with you. Well, go sit in a very cozy corner because we're going to have some very special discussions for you. And you're listening to IRB English Radio. This is Youth Station, your favorite. This is Asma. I have the pleasure to be at your service as the host. And here with me, I have Brother Abdullah. So, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I was going to say that.
Since everything is changing around us and the world is going through some very much of drastic changes, that would happen in our reading stores as well. The books that we used to buy from bookstores are disappearing and they are happening to come into our cell phones, into our computers, and we are reading them not through just turning pages, but through our cell phones or online or things like that, which I do not appreciate a lot because I'm a book lover. And I do love the smell of those pages. When you buy a new book, they have a special smell that is like heaven to me. Do you have the same feeling? Do you appreciate the process that is happening right now? Everything is turning into something, into your cell phone.
Something digital? No, yes? Actually, when it comes to books, I hate digital books. I can't read two pages.
So in that
like
case, we're in the
page
same
and
boat.
I get turned off and I leave it. I can't.
Yes, and it hurt the eyes.
I mean, I don't want to speak it from a medical perspective, but the fact that it's just terrible.
Yes.
It's terrible. It's not the same when you have the book on your hand. And it's me especially, I like antique books. I like the old paper where
same
they used
in
to
here.
Print on them in the stones. And alhamdulillah, I was blessed enough that when this month of Ramadan, I was gifted a Quran by the Atab al-Husseini. That's an old paper with handwriting on it.
Oh my God.
And just looking at it, it gives you this...
What a precious
absolute,
thing.
Yeah, it gives you this feeling that it's handwritten with the old ink and the paper itself was like, you know, this kind of yellowish...
Oh my God, it's so old.
So old. Even the cover is made from iron. And it's just like, I'm like, just opening it, looking at it, it just gives you that feel. So
you have a treasure now.
Yeah, so it's not the same when you have a book in your hand and you're just flipping through pages with your fingers.
Yes, exactly.
Like I fall asleep like two minutes later. I fall asleep. I can't look at it.
Just like me, I can't read books online, or just as you said it, I can't read digital books. But they have some justifications for it. They say, like this, many people are going to be able to read books. But I don't believe in that as well.
It's actually the opposite. I mean, now we have so much books online, no one reads.
Exactly.
Now we have like billions of books online, no one reads.
Yes.
Millions of PDFs. No one reads them.
Yes, no one
reads
them.
Those who read, and now even not reading, now we have the audiobooks, right?
Yes.
Which is, they said, okay, they did realize that people are not reading books, so let's make them into an audio that you can put.
Let them hear that.
Hey, you can hear it, right? And I've listened to so much audiobooks in my work because I'm working and I can't read. So I thought, well, that's a perfect opportunity for me.
The audiobooks are good.
Yeah, so audiobooks are perfect when you have work, right? When you're working, when you're doing things, when you're traveling, I always have my books on my hand.
Exactly.
And I'm listening to them. And people, even that, not doing. They're not listening to their books.
Yes, that's what I'm saying
So books are kind of dying. They're dying out. Me, as a person, I have two addictions in life that if I have to get. One is books, one are the perfumes. If I see a bookshop, I have to get into it. I don't care what it is.
When there's a smell of books, I think like they're calling me. When I go to bookstores, I don't come out of it unless I have passed 1 hour or 2 hour.
Yeah, I have
and
to
I
come
won't
out.
Be empty-handed, of course.
Yeah, it's. I think this is just
It's a sort of sickness, but it's a good sort of sickness.
I remember even when I was 7 or 8, my dad had a bookstore. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it wasn't his. Like one of his friends, you know, had a bookstore and he traveled. And so he gave the bookstore to my dad. And my dad, obviously, he's not going to. He was like, oh, you sit in the bookstore.
Yes.
This is a very tiny bookstore. And had all these classical French stories. Mm-hmm. And they used, I think the first story that I read, I still remember, is called The Bread Maker. It was such an inspiring, sad story that I just kept reading and reading and reading and reading, mm-hmm. right? I'm like, okay, I'm sitting here. I got the book, so might as well read. And then, you know, it's, from that time until now, it just, I think it developed. So if I woke up to this world mm-hmm. with a device in my hand, what are the chances of me picking up a book?
Yes, that's very... So we are saying that from an early age, we should start that passion for reading books.
Exactly. So we have to get the kids to read from a young
age. Yes, exactly. And I had the privilege as well to have a father who had a big library. So being around those plenty of the massive books made me so much interested in reading books, in short stories, stories, and then little by little we turned into reading some very huge books. Yes, let's go for a little break and we'll be back in no time. Go for a sip of water and be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
It's a parenting thing, I guess, to teach your children to be interested in reading.
Oh, yeah, they have to. I mean, like, if they don't, they will miss on a, like, I think it's just a part of their growth mm-hmm. to be able to read and learn from books. Because now people not being educated by books, they've been educated by people, either lecturers or through clips or by the media itself. And mm-hmm. these people, I mean, like even I speak and I say this sadly, because I constantly read, when I see speakers or lecturers give lectures and they either misquote a hadith or give a wrong interpretation of a hadith or they mix two hadiths in one and give it as a one hadith and the common people don't know what's going on. They take it for
granted.
Because
they have not
and
read the book.
And they say this is a trend as well. Sometimes one person says the wrong hadith.
It
becomes viral and then everyone says it.
Yes.
I'm like, dude, this hadith doesn't exist. This is just absolutely wrong.
It's very unfortunate.
So, and people don't know. So they take it for granted. Imam Ayyad, I'm like, dude, he never said this.
But if the audience are readers themselves, this wouldn't happen.
They wouldn't happen. They would say, no, hold on, that's not right.
Yes.
Or even if the lecturer himself was a reader, this would not have happened.
That's another story.
Yeah. Yes, like you said, that's another story for another day. So that's a problem because if you have the majority of people educated, they read, mm-hmm. they want to fall into this process.
But do you think there's a difference between, I say, for example, okay, the people in this society are not reading books, but they are listening to lecturers. Would they do the same things? I mean, the things that you're going to learn through those pages, is it the same as the thing?
You see, even a lecturer himself, when he reads, I mean, I'm a lecturer myself. When I want to deliver a lecture, I spend at least 5 hours into trying to prepare a lecture that's 15 to 20 minutes. I never lecture more than 30 minutes. My maximum is 20. And this 20 minutes takes me at least 4 hours. Because
pretty much natural.
Yeah, because I have to make sure that every word that I say, I will be held accountable in the sight
it's
of Allah.
It's authentic.
No, not just authentic. I will be held accountable from the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because at the end of the day, what you feed people, you're going to be asked about it.
Yes, you're going to be
so
asked.
So the responsibility is very heavy. When I quote the hadith, I never go on the minbar or deliver a lecture without having a paper in my hand. I would write the hadith down myself. Mm-hmm. I would write the sources of this hadith. And when I want to, I would actually pick up the paper and read the hadith, even if I know it by heart. Because I have to make sure that it's done perfectly. I'm not going to misquote it. So it's a huge responsibility when it comes
to
learning.
Exactly, it's a responsibility.
So when it comes to, reading, you have to be very careful. So the audience, what they get from the speaker, especially if the speaker does not, me and you right now, just chatting, right?
Yes.
So we expressing ideas. Mm-hmm. But these ideas that we're expressing, it doesn't mean they are correct.
Exactly.
So someone could be listening to us and like, what are these guys on
about? These are so personal.
Yeah,
they might be wrong.
Exactly. But when is, so most of the speakers that we have today, they just talk because they know how to talk. They're not talking because they have knowledge. Or even when they bring an idea forward to the audience.
Which is very dangerous.
Yeah, very dangerous. And when they bring an idea to the audience, they bring an idea that they have summarized or they have understood.
Yeah.
Where in the book itself, this idea, this concept is explained. When you read it to yourself, you can say, "Woo, you know, this is not what it means. It means something else." So you expand yourself when you read, because the author himself, when he writes something in the book, sometimes he gives the opinion of 5-6 people. Mm-hmm. He gives the opinion of scientists, physicians or psychologists or what have you. He expands your horizon and your knowledge when you read from the book.
Exactly.
Because what? Because the author, the writer, has more time to expand on the subject. Where a speaker, he has limited 45 minutes and he has to talk about so many things. So he's going to make a mess of things, right?
Exactly.
So yes. Me, I would listen to lecturers if they are speaking from an Arfani perspective, a spiritual perspective, or akhlaqa perspective.
Just to clarify it for the audience, the words akhlaq, irfan, you talk
so
about.
So irfan is mysticism.
Yes,
akhlaq
mysticism.
Is morality, right? So especially if you take them from obviously the right people, that brings
because
you closer to Allah.
Because they're based on experience.
Yeah, so that takes you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closer. And we have, alhamdulillah, we have plenty of ulama who when they talk, you can feel the spirituality. And when I listen to those who are intellectual, or at least they always the topics they discuss, always intellectual topics, I see so many flaws into it. And especially when it's not their field.
Yes.
I'm saying, no, I'm not going to listen to this guy anymore, right? I'm not going to waste my time. Mm-hmm. I would rather read myself. And so especially when it comes to our aqad, our beliefs, the youth, they need to read to strengthen their beliefs.
Exactly.
You can't strengthen your belief from a lecture that's 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
The books are more specialized.
It is. It's their job, right? So
yes.
When you read a book, it's different. It actually enforces your faith. Even with the Quran, I think once I was giving a lecture to a group of kids,
mm-hmm.
and their parents were sitting and watching. And I was saying to them, talking about the Quran, the benefits of the Quran, I said, make sure you read the Quran from the Quran itself. And one of the parents, you know, he jumped and he says, what about the Quran on the iPhones, on the phones? It's the same concept. It's still like, I said to him, no, it's not the same. I said to him, even we have a hadith that says, read the Quran from the book.
Because, exactly, you know,
because some people memorize the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
He says,
let your eyes see
says,
the
see
words.
It. He says, even looking at the Quran,
yes, even looking
you get hasana, right? Ibadah, or it's a form of worship, just looking at the letters, opening that
is book. Going to be rewarded.
Yeah, so it has that effect. So when you have a book in your hand, I mean, I speak from experience. When you have a book in your hand, it's not the same when you look at it from a phone or from a device.
Even the process of turning those pages is pretty much
that
different.
Sound itself,
yeah, exactly.
It's magical.
Sound.
And I think even now, I mean, in a lot of these applications that have PDFs,
they have the sound
they have that sound as well, because they know that it has an effect, right? Or when you
but
write,
that's not the same.
Oh, yes, it's not the same.
Yes.
I mean, like when you hold it in your hand, it's different.
No, I always say that. Reading a book is just like plunging into the sea or the ocean of knowledge, but listening to a summary or a lecture is just like touching the shore of that sea or that ocean. So they're not the same. They're pretty much different. As you go through the process of reading, you will learn plenty much of things, and many ideas might cross into your head as you're just doing. And it has been very clear to everyone that we all might read the same things, but every single one of us would
we'll
have
different
notions and different perspective upon that book. So reading from the main source is a privilege. It's a very, very pleasurable thing. I guess reading can never be replaced by those digital books. Reading from the book, I mean, can never be replaced by these digital works. So that's it. I thank you. And from me and everybody in the Youth Station, I bid you farewell. Thank you for listening. Thank you.